In this service, I want to talk to you from the topic viewpoints. Viewpoints or a viewpoint. As I said in the earlier service, I have found that being a child of God, you are living from a platform of victory. We do things from victory. We do things from glory to glory and from victory to victory. We don't do things for victory. We do things because of what Jesus did. So we have a strong foundation. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We have all these things that work in our advantage. But I have also discovered that before we met Jesus, or before you met Jesus, there's an adversary as well. There's an enemy. There's Satan out there that is out to destroy. We find him working when man was created in the garden, deceiving Adam and Eve and destroyed their relationship with God. So Satan, the Bible says, is the one that came only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. As Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, or that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, he's the truth. Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And even though you know Jesus or not know Jesus, Satan wants to destroy your life. And if you have given your life to God, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you are born again, it does not mean that Satan now suddenly will be hands off. It actually means what Jesus said. We need to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. You have to realize that the enemy is out there. And the enemy is still using the same old stuff to get us to break relationship with God, relationship with the things of God. And Satan doesn't come forth with new tactics. He just uses old stuff in a new way. He's a copycat. He's using the old things, the same old things over and over and over again. And he gets the same result over and over again. And we have to wake up. We have to wise up. And I really feel that the Lord is speaking to me in the beginning of this year that we need to be aware of certain things and understand that there's certain things in the church that is very important to God. It's very important to God. And God wants us to put our emphasis on these things. And you need to know that if it's important to God, then it will be very important for Satan, because there's a purpose why it's important to God. And if he is the enemy of all what God is doing, then he's going to try to attack or try to do things in these areas, and he's getting the same results all the way, because we are like sheep that is blind and walking to the slaughter. We constantly step into the same old things and receiving the same old results. And I believe that it's for us, if we want to make a shift, if every one of us want to do greater things for God, then we need to focus on the key things so that we can be wise up. Amen? Slap your neighbor, say, you need to wise up. One of these things is viewpoints. The Bible says the word the dictionary says the word viewpoint means the following: a place affording a view of something, a position of observation. It also means an attitude of mind. So when we're talking about a viewpoint, it means a specific place of observation, or it's a place affording a view. It's a place that gives you a view. It's a position, but most importantly, it's an attitude of mind. A viewpoint is an attitude of mind. Friends, it is so difficult to get a big group of people to have a common viewpoint in life. Stay with me. It is so difficult to have a group of people or a big group of people to have the same viewpoint or viewpoints in life. Yet God expects from his people to have a common viewpoint when it comes to him and his kingdom. God expects. How many we are to have a common viewpoint about him and his kingdom. You can bring people to the same observation point, give them the same view, but they will still or might still have a different viewpoint. You can bring them to the same observation point, give them the same view, but yet they might still have a different viewpoint. There's an old saying that says the following. Two brothers were sitting in a jail. They were in a jail cell looking out of their cell window. One saw stars and the other one saw bars. Here we find two brothers that had the same view. The two brothers had the same observation point, but the two brothers did not have the same attitude or the same mind, giving them a different viewpoint. The one saw stars and the other one saw bars. They did not have the same mind. They did not have the same attitude. Therefore, they did not have the same attitude of mind. Stay with me. People can have the same Bible. They can have the same church, the same pastor, the same church service, the same building, the same sermons, and yet not have the same viewpoints. Friends, you can bring people to the same observation point. You can give them the same view, but they might still have different viewpoints. Why is this so? I believe it is because a viewpoint is ultimately an attitude of mind. It is made up from the two most powerful things in life, a person's attitude and a person's mind. A viewpoint ultimately is made up of the two most important things in a person's life, a person's attitude and a person's mind. Family, your attitude and your mind can only be changed by you. No one can change them for you. It is things that not even the Lord can change them for you unless you change them yourself. And it's two of the most important things in a Christian's life, your attitude and your mind. Family, your attitude will ultimately determine your altitude in life. If you have a good attitude, you will ultimately have a great altitude in life. Your mind, I believe, your altitude in life is determined by your attitude in life. Your mind, I believe, is so important that your altitude in God's stuff is determined by your mind changing to or in line with the Word of God. So if you want to go up in the things of God, if you want to do more for God, then your altitude in the things of God is determined by your mind changing in line with the Word of God. God wants all of us, His church, His people, every one of us to have the same viewpoints. It is so difficult to get a big group of people to have the same viewpoint in life. Viewpoint means the same attitude and the same mind. Yet Jesus expects from His church and His people to have the same viewpoints. Even before you gave your life to Jesus, even more so now that you are saved and in His hands, Jesus is influencing you to change your viewpoints. Even before you gave your life to Jesus, He was busy influencing you to change your viewpoints. You had many viewpoints before you gave your life to Jesus. You had viewpoints about church, about ministers, about Jesus, about the kingdom, about all of God's stuff. But thank God, somewhere among everything, Christ came through many ways and influenced you to change your viewpoint about Him, the church, ministers, whatever. Now, even more, after you get saved, after you have given your life to Him, He is still influencing your life or you to change certain viewpoints. He's not stopping. And I want to explain to you why. Your viewpoints that He changed before you gave your life, or that He's busy changing,
is about him. He wants to change the viewpoints you have about church, about ministers, about Christians, about people, about giving and tithing. Exactly about everything that is contrary to his word, his ways, and his kingdom. He wants those viewpoints to change. But he needs to influence you to change them yourself. Because two of the most important things that make up a viewpoint is an attitude and a mind. And no one can change your attitude and no one can change your mind. So he has to come and influence you positively to change your attitude and your mind so that you can have a different viewpoint about him, about church, about ministers, and about Christians, people, giving, and whatever is contrary to his word, his ways, and his kingdom. Why does he want to do that? In Galatians chapter 1, 21, if you have your Bibles here, follow with me. It says, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." Wow. There's a purpose why God wants all of us to have the same viewpoints. And there's a purpose why he is now trying to influence you to change your viewpoints in line with his word, his ways, and his kingdom. Why? Because before you gave your life to Christ, you and I were alienated in the mindsets of the kingdom. We were enemies in our minds when it comes to God. Now, when you give your life to Jesus, he doesn't give you just bang, you suddenly, now you think positive all day long. No bad thoughts, no negative thoughts. It is just all the negativity is wiped away. It doesn't work like that. You still have a mind that is actually an enemy to the ways of God, to the things of God, to the word of God. And if you have a mind that is an enemy, he has to influence you to change your mind, because unless you change your mind, no one can change that mind for you. And if you have a negative viewpoint on giving, a negative viewpoint on church, a negative viewpoint on ministers, on leadership, authority, unless you change your attitude and your mind to those viewpoints and get them in line with the word of God, they are going to stay negative and not positive as God wants it. I preach much better than what you say, amen. Romans chapter 8, 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You have to understand that thing between your ears is an enemy to God. Even though you get born again, your mind can still be an enemy towards God, towards God himself, God's ways, God's kingdom, God's church, God's ministers, God's teachings. Are you with me? There's a reason why God wants to change our viewpoints. Number one, the mind is evil. Yes, your mind is evil. It's against what God wants. It says here the carnal mind is an enemy of God. It is not subjected to the law of God, nor can it be. Now, well, last time I checked, when God says it, something cannot do something, then it cannot. That's why unless you are born again, you cannot serve God. You can try to serve him in your mind, but your mind is carnal, and therefore it cannot submit to the law of God and never can be. So a person that's not born again can never serve God. Never. Never serve God. Unless you are born from the Spirit and God has given you a spirit and a new heart, you can never serve him. You can think you serve him, but the thing between your head can never be subjected to the law of God. God said it, not me. Don't get angry with me. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. When God says never can be, it can never be. If God calls a thing evil, it's evil. So you need to understand that your mind is an enemy. Your mind, or let me say, the mind, that your old mind, is an enemy towards God. And it will influence your viewpoints. Not just your mind, but your attitude. Are you still with me? We all need new minds. That's a good thought. But praise God, Jesus said, I will come, I'll give them a new spirit, I will give them a new heart, and I will give them new minds. And I'm going to take my laws and write them on their minds and on their hearts. Thank God for that. So don't look at me, oh, the pastor says I need a new brain. You need a new brain. You need a new mind. But thank God, Jesus said that if you are mine, I am going to give it to you. I am going to supply it to you. So I want you to nudge your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you need a new mind, bro. Find another neighbor, tell them you need a new mind, bro. The old one is discontinued. Now, don't look at me. Tell your neighbor. Your old mind is part of the old world. It's discontinued in the eyes of God. The carnal mind that you have is an enemy to God. And Jesus wants his people to have the same viewpoints. But to have the same viewpoints, we need to have the same mind and we need to have the same attitude or attitudes. Now that is very difficult to achieve. But praise God that Jesus prophesied that he will give us one mind. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 2, it says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So God is not expecting me to get my mind into what your mind is. God is expecting you to get your mind into what my mind is. And I need to get my mind into what his mind is. And all of us need to line up. And that is what the church is doing. And ministers are trying to do Sunday after Sunday, day after day, week after week. Is to get all the things between the ears to be like-minded. Therefore, the Bible says, pray for pastors. Pray for ministers. Because just to get a husband and a wife to think the same. Just imagine 3,000 or 10,000 people to think the same, to have the same mind. And not just that, to have the same attitude. Yet God expected. He expects us to have. He's saying here, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, that means purpose and action, and one mind. It says here, Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Wow. To have the same viewpoints, we must have the same minds and the same attitudes. And praise God, we can have all things through Christ Jesus. The Bible says we can have all things. Now, Paul is writing to the Philippians church. The Holy Spirit is saying, tell them to fill the joy, my joy, by having the same mind. Have one mind. As a church, have one mind. As a people, have one mind. Be like-minded. Be of one accord. Then he writes in a few chapters later, he says to them, let all of you walk with the same rule and have the same mind. And all of you sit here and you think, how can it be done? But the Bible says we can do and have all through Christ. Stay with me. We can have it through Christ. Your mind and my mind and her mind, and your mind, and his mind, we can all have the same mind through Christ. How can we obtain this? In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says here, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. When you get born again, God gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. And then he gives you the mind of Christ. A few years ago, I preached a sermon of two minds. We are actually all schizophrenic. Because we have two minds. You have the old mind that is negative and breaking down and worldly. But then when you know who you are in Christ, you realize that you have the mind of Christ. So there's no excuse for Pastor Eugene and myself to think the same when it comes to the things of God. He has the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And if we have the same mind, then we should all be one, like-minded. So when I give and I tithe and I'm excited about it, then what? Then you should give and tithe and be excited about it because you have the mind of Christ. When somebody reach out and somebody is leading people to God and preaching the gospel, then we all should do it because that's the mind of Christ. If we all serve and sacrifice, then all of us should do it because that's the mind of Christ. You have to, number one, know. How can you obtain it? That you, after you get born again, have the mind of Christ. He is not double-minded. He's not schizophrenic, like most of us. He has one mind, and his mind is in line with the Father's mind. And he has given that mind to you and me so that we can be like-minded and of one mind when it comes to the things of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, 23, in Amplified, it says, "And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." Wow. God's saying constantly, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Through the spirit, you can have the right mind and the right attitude. Because you are born again and you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you have the mind of Christ, you can draw upon Him and we can all have the same mind and the same attitude when it comes to the things of God. Wow. And through the Spirit, we can have that same mind and same attitude about everything pertaining the Word of God, the ways of God, and the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So how can we obtain this? Number one, another point, stop being conformed to the old world. Stop it. Stop being conformed. Every time you think about your old life, university days, all the stuff that you did before, stop. It conforms you. Every time feelings come up and it takes you back about blah, 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 stop it because it conforms, takes you back to the old life. Stop it. You want to obtain the mind of Christ, you need to stop certain things. Stop that. And then you need to transform your thinking. You need to transform. How do you transform your thinking? By getting it in line with the Word of God. Amen. You are depressed because you don't know what the Word of God is saying about your life and what God has for you. You're living in your emotions and your feelings and not in the Word. Right. So you have to transform your mind, so that you can know what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for your life. So many Christians don't even live in the good will of God for their lives, because they don't live in the will of God for their lives. But God is not, there's levels. Clearly here, good, acceptable, perfect. Where do you want to live? Child of God? You want to live in the perfect will. How are you going to get there? Stop conforming and start transforming. Transform. How do I transform my mind? By the Word of God. I need to get my mind in line with what the Word of God is saying. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That means if you read that whole passage, you find that God says you need to be humble and you need to be a servant. How do you obtain? How do we all obtain the same mind? By all being humble and all see ourselves as servants. Not just some. Every one of us get off our high horses, get off those our rusty dusties, and we all humble ourselves. We all, and humbleness is not humble. Humbleness is actually obedience. The word humble in the Hebrew actually means obedience. So we all become obedient and we all become servants of God. Are you with me? It says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Christ humbled himself. Christ became obedient. He got rid of everything, left heaven, came to earth as a mere man, followed the will of God and served mankind. He served mankind by dying for them on the cross. So let this mind be in you. That's the mind of Christ. All of us being humble, obedient, and servants of humanity, servants of each other, servants in the house of God. And family, Jesus wants his people, you and I, to have the same viewpoints. The same viewpoints when it comes towards him. The same viewpoints towards his kingdom. The same viewpoints towards the word of God. The same viewpoints towards the gospel of Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, 27, it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whatever I come and see you are absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind. When you read the New Testament, you find how many times the writer is writing through the Holy Spirit is writing through the writers, and he's saying, there's one Father, one God, one baptism, one God, one mind. God wants us to be one. The moment that people start to talk to you, not to be one with your church and your leadership, you need to know it's demonic. They might have the Jesus sticker. They might shout hallelujah. They might pray in tongues. But the moment they are trying to break you away from being one with the church, one with leadership, one with pastors, they are demonic. They wrapped in sheep's clothing, but they are wolves. God wants his people to be one. He wants us to have one mind, one spirit, one love. And it's your responsibility to have those same viewpoints, because no one can change your mind and no one can change your attitudes. And for us to have the same viewpoints, you alone need to change your mind and you alone need to change your attitude. And I know I'm getting under the fingers of some people here this morning. The same viewpoints towards your pastors and ministers. Same viewpoints. Doesn't matter if a minister is from other, leave them. Have the same viewpoints towards ministers. We are all servants of Jesus. The same viewpoints towards ministry. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Wow. You didn't know that. You all speak the same thing. We believe in this church in tithing and in giving. We all speak the same thing. So let your service not just be lip service, but action. And if you don't want to speak that thing, then remove yourself from the oneness that God expects to be here. Simple. But don't be here sitting like a leech. Sucking everything up. Telling everybody that you love God and this is your church. Sounds like you're speaking the same thing, but your actions are far from it. No, I didn't come for this. Now, well, Satan comes year after year, month after month, with the same things. And what he wants to do is change your viewpoints.
Because if he can change your viewpoints, he changes your mind and he changes your attitude, and then things change. You come to church, God touched you, he changed your life, he gave you a great church, great people around you, great ministers, great word, great everything. Your viewpoint towards God and everything changes, but 4 years later, 4 months later, suddenly you have now a different viewpoint. Suddenly Tabu is now a false prophet. But 6 months ago, I should just walk around you because you all you want to do is hug me and bring me presents and tell me how wonderful I am. But what happened? Your viewpoint changed. Your viewpoint changed. And when your viewpoint changed, your mindset's changed and your attitude has changed. So if you're not aware that Christ is busy influencing you to get your viewpoints in line with his word, his ways, and his kingdom, and that Satan, on the other hand, is also influencing you to change those viewpoints which Christ is busy trying to work with you to change, you won't understand that there's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your mind, and there's a battle for your attitudes. And if you're going to keep on having a bad attitude and wrong mindsets, then your viewpoints towards God, towards the church, towards ministers, towards giving, towards serving, it's never going to change. God wants us to have the same viewpoints when it comes to ministry. He says that we should speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Friends, listen to me. When a person in church comes to you and starts to speak to you about your pastors, about the church, and about other people in the church, you have to understand they become now an agent of Satan. They are now causing division. You never step into that position. If you want to know something about Tabu and Karen or a pastor or the church, then come to Tabu and Karen and the pastor or the church or the leader. Sit them down and ask them, say to them, I understand this, I heard this, can we discuss this? Because if you go and discuss it with other people and not with them, you are now rebellious and you will cause division. And if you don't have the truth, you will sow stuff that is not the truth, and later you might repent, but the people you spoke to are now offended and they left the church and they're back in the world, and one day you will stand accountable before Jesus for that soul. So my suggestion is you never speak about a pastor, never speak about leadership unless you speak to them yourself. Because you might be misinformed, you can tell and you can add your offense to it, and later you repent. But other people, they hear that gossip and that lie, Satan makes them offended. They got so offended, they leave the church, leave the relationship with Jesus, go back into the world. And therefore, Jesus said, if your offense lead to one little one to fall away, it's better for you to put a milestone around your neck and drown yourself. The day is coming. You better be careful. Therefore, you need to have the same mindset when it comes to this ministry, your pastors, your leaders. Are you with me? Otherwise, you will cause division. And in the Old Testament, every person that caused division died. God showed that swift judgment. So you can take his word. There's consequences to that way of living because God warns it. He said, hey, be the same mind, be in unity. Are you with me? We have to have the same viewpoints toward our brothers and sisters. God wants us to have the same viewpoints towards brothers and sisters. In Romans 12, 16, it says, be of the same mind toward one another. Be of the same mind toward one another.
Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I said it so many times, you don't have an opinion. And then you all get, how can I not have an opinion? Have an opinion, but have it in line with the book. Don't be wise in your own opinion. You gave your life 6 weeks ago to Jesus, and now suddenly you know all. You don't know nothing. 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 I'm not arrogant when I'm saying this. If you can't lead a church of so many, shut up. Fall in line. You're not God's policeman or the church's policeman. Zip it. Get in line and build something so that people can start listening to you. Until that, just zip it. Satan is going to use you like a puppet. Because you are wise in your own eyes and God says you are rebellious. You think, oh, I'm going to Bible school and oh, I read the Bible and oh, I am so serving God. In God's eyes, you are rebellious. Because you're wise in your own eyes and not in His ways. In His ways, you will zip it. You will fall in line. You will build one home cell, 10 home cells, 15 home cells, then 500 home cells, and then I will listen to you. I'm not saying it arrogantly, but then I will listen to you. Because you've proven yourself. Are you with me? So have the same viewpoints when it comes to brothers and sisters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 12, it says, for if there is a willing mind, it is according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Now, friends, God wants us to have the same viewpoints when it comes to giving. You see, giving or tithing will never happen in your life if there's not first a willing mind. He says it there. When you read that, he talks about giving to that church. And if you don't have a willing mind towards giving, it will never happen. Your viewpoint on giving, your mind and your attitude about giving will never change. So you need to change your mind to change your attitude so that your viewpoint can change when it comes to giving and tithing, and then it will change. And it's very simple for Satan to move you again. He just changed your viewpoint. He changed your attitude. He changed your mind. Get you to read the stuff on the internet. And suddenly confuse your mind. Now your attitude changed and you stop. You're not willing anymore. Christ wants us all to have the same viewpoint when it comes to giving. Amen. Though your mind is not willing to embrace giving, you will not change your attitude on giving. Therefore, your viewpoint cannot change. And Satan, our enemy, does not want us to have the same viewpoints. Your viewpoints on these things can only change when you as a person change your attitude and you as a person change your mind about them. And God desperately wants us to function in the right attitudes and in the right minds. But we are limiting Him. We are limiting Him. He desperately wants us to have one mind. He desperately wants us to have the same attitudes. He desperately wants us to have the same viewpoints. But we are limiting Him. You are limiting Him by not allowing Him or you not going out and change your mind and change your attitudes. Because no one can change a man's attitude or a man's mind except the man himself. And Satan, on the other side, is desperately trying to change your attitude and your mind even further. Now, why further? Because he already changed that through sin. So all he wants to do is, he just wants to change it further. So you get born again. You don't know that Christ has gave you his mind so we can be in one mind. You don't change your mind by renewing your mind. You don't stop conforming back. So you don't do nothing. So what does Satan do? He just takes you further. And he's desperately busy influencing through life and through things happening in your life and through misunderstandings and through wrong feelings and all these, he's desperately working to influence you, your mind and your attitudes further. Desperately. You have to understand, church, Satan has the advantage here. When it comes to your mind, he has the advantage. Why does he have the advantage? Because our minds are corrupt. Our attitudes are corrupt because of sin. So you and I, we have to work with God. God wants to, he promises us great lives, prosperity, health, everything that we long for. He promised that. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and he will add all these things to us. But to obtain those things, he invites us to a higher living of life, the higher life, the elevated life. And for that, your viewpoints on life need to change. Your viewpoints on the word need to change. Your viewpoints of him, the kingdom, prosperity, wealth, all these things need to change. But the church is doing nothing. You don't change your mind according to the word. You don't change your attitudes according to the word. You think that Christ is just now going to do. And he's not doing it. So what happens through circumstances and through life and through things happening to you, misunderstandings, offenses, what's he doing? He just takes you further. And he has the advantage because your mind is already corrupt. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. Colossians 1:21. And you were once alienated and enemies in your mind. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Ephesians 2:3, among who also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. So Satan has the advantage here, folks. He doesn't need to do much to take you further. He just needs to confuse you, keep you not to conform your attitudes and your mind into the line of the kingdom and a line of the word of God, and he takes you further. And you don't understand, but you've been in church so many years and things are not changing. Wow. You don't want to hear the sermon now. That's why you duck your head and you don't look me in the eyes. Because you are responsible. No man can change your attitude. No man can change your mind. But people can influence your attitude and people can influence your mind. And on the one side, Christ is trying every Sunday, every day through this church to influence your attitudes and to influence your mind. And when you are not a church, Satan is on your shoulder through your mind, taking you further. And God says, change your viewpoints. I want your viewpoints to be in line. I want you all to think the same, all to have the same attitude towards me, the kingdom, the church, everything. Satan does not need to do much. He only needs to get us not to change our minds and not to change our attitudes. He only needs to get you to work, not to work with God. And that keeps your viewpoints in line with what Satan wants. The moment you stop conforming or transforming your viewpoints to in line with God, Satan keeps your viewpoints in line with him. Oh, but you're born again, but you're not a giver. You've never took your viewpoint on giving and put it in line with what the word says. So you've never changed your attitude and your mind towards it. Can't change. Your viewpoint about God. You might be born again, but think God doesn't love you. You have to change that mindset and that attitude for that viewpoint to change. Now, if you get born again and you don't actively change those mindsets and those attitudes, those viewpoints ain't going to change. And they will stay in line with the mind and the attitudes that Satan wants you to have. You're going to have the old mindsets, the old attitudes, unless you actively change it yourself. Remember, family, Satan is the master of changing people's viewpoints on things. He's the master. He changed Eve and Adam's viewpoint on God and led them into sin. Woo! You have to listen to this bloke today. You will come to church. Christ will change your life. You'll get born again. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will start walking with you. You will have almost a perfect environment to prosper. Satan is the master to lead you back into sin. All he needs to do is to change your viewpoint on God, the church, and the ministers and leaders in your life. That's all he needs to do. The moment he does that, he leads you back into sin. And you say it won't happen. He did that with Adam and Eve in the beginning. You have to understand they were in a perfect environment. They had a perfect environment. The world did not know what sin was. They had no negativity. They didn't have a mind that were not working like yours and mine. They had, I believe, 100% brain capacity. Nothing was dying. God was walking with them. Yet Satan came into that garden and changed their viewpoint on God and His Word. All he had to do was to change the viewpoint. All he had to do. The moment he changed the viewpoint on the Word and what God gave them and God Himself, he led them into sin. All Satan needs to do, who's walking with you today? The Holy Spirit, but you don't see him. But you see the ministers and the pastors and the leaders walking with you.
Yep. Amen.
Yep. All he needs to do is to change your viewpoint about the men of God and women of God that's walking with you. Oh, and he leads you back into the world. That's why viewpoints are so important. And you can bring people to the same church. You can give them the same Bible. You can give them the same Holy Spirit. You can give them the same sermon. You can give them the same music. You can even give them the same seats, just in different positions. They will see the same bloke, hear the same voice, but have different viewpoints. Just because a viewpoint is determined by your attitude and your mind. And none of us that's born again have the excuse, because Christ gives us the same mind. He gives us the same mind. He said, you have the mind of Christ. Therefore, be like-minded. Speak the same thing. Love the same way. Friends, if you are not going to get your viewpoints of everything about God in line with that book, Satan will come to change your viewpoints. The moment he changes your viewpoints, every time he changed the viewpoints of God's people, he led them into sin. He cannot lead you any other way. He always leads you back to sin. That's all he knows, is to take people back to sin. Never allow him to change your viewpoints. Rather work with God to change your mind and to change your attitudes. The moment that your viewpoint about a minister or a church or giving, or serving, or whatever is busy changing, you need to say, whoa, let me get the right mind again. The right mind is not found on the internet. The right mind is found in the book. Then you need to say, I need to change my attitude.
Friends, there's two things. You can be the most beautiful person. You can be brand new, have a new heart, a new car, a new house, a new wife, whatever. If you have a flat attitude and a flat mind, that beautiful life of yours are going nowhere. You're like a beautiful Lamborghini with two flat front tires. You ain't moving. You go nowhere. And some of you are going nowhere for a very long time. And unfortunately, you're going nowhere fast. Unless you change those tires, unless you change that attitude, and unless you start changing your mind, this beautiful life that Christ came to give you, it's going to go nowhere. And some of you have received this new life, and you've received four amazing tires that are pumped. But you have to understand the road of salvation and the road of life is not a road that is tarred off of cement. It is full of potholes, full of screws, full of destruction. And you will ride and you will get a flat. And the flat will be, your mind will be, you will stop changing your mind and you will stop changing your attitude. Can you believe there's people in this world that can't change a car's tire? Can't change it. I can't understand it. I came to this country and I found people phoning the AA to change a vehicle's tire, to change a wheel. I can't understand you. Can you understand that? Maybe you are one that can't change a tire. Now I pray for you. But you know what? There's Christians like you. They can't change their tires. They constantly need to phone somebody. Pastor, change this. Pastor, help this. You have to get used to change your own stuff. And the two most important things that you need to be aware of that determines a viewpoint is your attitude and your mind. And if you can't change that, Satan will change and keep your viewpoints in line with his. Now, I know that you didn't come for this, but I hope this will help you to understand the importance of your mind and your attitude. You have to constantly work on it. I need to work on it. Let's get our mind and our attitudes in line with God's word. Our viewpoints on giving will change. Your viewpoints on leadership will change. Your viewpoints on serving will change. Your viewpoints of the church will change. Your viewpoint of God will change. And all of that will change in line with the book. And when you find moving away, stop. Get back. Get your mind full of the word again. Get your attitude back in line with the word of God again, and your viewpoint is going to change again to what God wants it to be. And therefore, viewpoints are crucial for us to go higher as God's people and further as God's people. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that today we know that you speak to us like no man can. Right now, I pray for minds to come in line with your word. I pray for attitudes right now to be in line with the word. I pray, Lord, that you will show us the hidden things of the kingdom. Lord, let our minds be so full of your word. Let our lives be a reflection of your word. Let our attitudes be in line with the godly attitudes of the kingdom of God. I pray that every viewpoint that is not in line with the word will change, that is not in line with your ways and your kingdom will change from today forth. Lord, thank you that you empowered us by your grace to be able to change our minds and our attitudes. And right now, I speak forth in the name of Jesus. I declare mindsets to start changing, attitudes to start changing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we repent of mindsets mindsets that's not in line with your word. We repent of attitudes that's not in line with your word. And we ask you to forgive us. Bring us back in line with your word, back into one mind, back into like-minded, same spirit, because we serve the same God, the same Father. We are baptized through the same baptism. Lord, and we honor you. We thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for speaking to me. And Lord, I honor you. I thank you that your kingdom will come and your will be done. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. And Lord, I pray right now for those that are hearing your voice. Thank you that you are ready to help them to transform even more. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you for those who are saying yes this morning, that you are changing them further into the likeness of your Son. Thank you that we have the mind of Christ. If you are here today, or you might be under my voice, and you say, Thabo, I don't know Jesus. I don't know if my life is right with God. Maybe you're here today for the very first time, or maybe you're coming to for a while, and you've never given your life to God. You're not 100% sure that you have the assurance of eternal life. You can't say with confidence that if you die one day, you know that you will go to heaven. Well, my friend, if that is you, I want to tell you that I've got good news. Because 2,000 years ago, God's Son came into this world to die for us on a cross, to forgive our sins so that today we have the opportunity to believe. We can choose to believe what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago, and we can receive eternal life. We can receive a new life. And if it's you that I'm talking about, and you say, Thabo, that's me, I need this prayer, then I want to tell you that today, if you choose to give your life to Jesus, then everything will change for eternity. Because God says, whoever comes to me with faith, I will save them. If they repent and turn to me, I will forgive them. I will restore them. I will lift them up and I will use them for my glory. If it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Thabo, that's me, I want to be included in this prayer, then I want to ask you, can I please pray for you? And wherever you are, while all the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, I want to ask you to do something. You want me to include you in this prayer? I want you to just slip up your hand and show me by hand so I can pray for you. If there's anybody here in the service today, you may be sitting there in the back, you may be here in the front, you just know that you need to make right with God. Your life is not right with Him. You've never given your life to Jesus. Now I want to tell you, today is the day where you can be reconciled with Him. If there's anybody here today, I want to ask you to slip up your hand high. Say, Thabo, here I am.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.